this segment for the Med Student Over Easy podcast, a podcast within EM Over Easy. I'm here with my co-host, John Casey, and I'm Andy Little. We have two guests here, Megan Stobart-Gallagher and Jeff Compa. We're going to be talking about the soap. Now, the soap is something that, as someone who trained in the osteopathic world, in fact, all of us trained at traditional AOA programs back before the soap kind of existed, where when we didn't match, there was this thing called the scramble, like the eggs, that it was a, you got an email that said you have matched, and you would find out either then or within an hour where you matched, or it was, you have not matched, and you will now enter the scramble. And so the soap process is different, and I know it's even changed in the last 5 years. To give you some history, historically, even on the ACGME side, there used to be a scramble, where it was, they released it, and then they went to a secondary match, where it was like a secondary rank list, where you didn't match, you know, Monday was busy interviewing, and then it was just a rank list, and you'd find out, and it was over. That is not what exists now. Megan and John can speak from personal experience. And as someone who was preparing for it, and even now having prepared for it, feel like I would have been inadequately prepared for it with the information that I had. Let's walk through what the soap process actually means and how it works. So the mechanism is Monday morning, we get that email that says you filled or you're not filled. As a program, I get that piece of information that says you have not filled your spots. What happens next?
So what happens next on Monday is you go through the stages of grief.
Real fast.
But most of us were prepared with the decrease in applications this year. So you kind of just have to come up with your game plan. You have to make sure your team is available for the rest of the week because Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday are busy. Students will take all day Monday after they find out that they didn't match to re-prepare applications. So if you're thinking about a new specialty, maybe you're adapting your personal statement, your advisors are looking into the programs. The med schools essentially have a list of all the programs that didn't fill so that they can begin applying through ERAS. Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., programs can now look at your applications and see who's applied to them. And then it is literally balls to the wall, cold calling people to set up interviews, emailing people to set up interviews. And you really have to have a team approach to it. We had a very like factory line set up where we had a core faculty member and APD reviewing applications. They would kind of get put onto a shared spreadsheet. So one of them was at home with their kids. Shared spreadsheet would then be reviewed by our second APD, who would then forward the names to our interim coordinator and myself to schedule interviews. So I was interviewing pretty much from 9 a.m., even though applications started at 8 a.m., until Wednesday at 6 p.m. So Tuesday and Wednesday, it is just rapid fire review, interview again, get the residents on board, you know, whatever you can. And then Thursday is the soap rounds, which I can let John talk about.
Well, real quick. So nothing really happens on Monday.
Monday is grief.
Grief and denial and anger and what's our game plan and what are we going to do? Because you now have...
And rally your team.
Because
assemble.
Now your whole week has shifted, right? Even, you know, like who can do what, where you're at. And this is like, there are people, you know, it's really funny. There are people that are all like, oh, I can't believe you had faculty members on vacation or what. Okay, people, let's just get real for a second. It is spring break. There are people in this world called parents that like to go places with their kids and do things, and they have zero control over when that happens. And so people have to go out. There's this thing still hanging around called COVID. You may have people that suddenly can't like
travel,
do or
be in person,
whatever. So all of these things. So you now have to create your week. Exactly the timeline that I'm so glad you could keep all those times in your head, because I had to like purge those things. And then we had just real quick, a little bit of a different process, right? Because there's no like magic formula out there for how or what to do. So I took a little different approach. So the same thing, my APDs, chief residents, faculty did a comprehensive review of all the people that had applied to the program. And I actually reviewed all of them, right? So I let other people manage the spreadsheets and the data and all that stuff. And I tried to take a very high level so I would know everybody. But then you're absorbing a ton of information very quickly. And so my plan was to go wide, not deep, and to trust and rely on my faculty and my residents to do the deep dives, to go, these are the people that we feel like if we're going to, you know, in our limited time we have to make this work. So a ton of interviews in parallel on those 2 days. And side note, there is no one way to reach out to some people, right? We had people that would tweet to see if they could get a reply to schedule an interview, and you're all fighting, right? So so the sooner you start, like if you've got a good candidate and there were so many, they might already have like 12 interviews and they're like, well, I can fit you in at 1:43 on Tuesday. It's a free for all. And then, yeah.
So I guess a mechanism, scramble.
So I guess a mechanism from a student standpoint is, did you use the same criteria to select interviews? Were slows a big thing? Were letters of recommendation a big thing? Are they important?
Couldn't. Everything's important that you have, but not everybody has the same thing.
Because I know from a couple students that were doing this that tried to scramble another specialty. It's like, well, I don't have a letter of rec for that specialty. And yeah, it was, just use what you have.
I was very fine. I was totally fine with that. I know there was a thing that came out in Cord, like, do you want slows or not? I couldn't respond. I was too busy with the soap. But I was like, I don't care if you have a slow. But there were students who somehow Monday got an EM person at their school to write them a slow. And I guess they took it from their evaluation.
Kudos to those people.
Oh, yeah,
kudos
man. To those people.
And those schools.
And I say that knowing that we wrote a couple slows for people on Monday that were just, hey, I need a slow. And we're like, yeah, I'm a slow.
But I didn't feel like anyone needed a slow because I really recognized that this might not have been their first choice. And, you know, we did have a few people who were late deciders in EM. We had a bunch of people who thought EM and then
parallel deciders liked two specialties and just you had to go. Their advisors told them all in.
You can only do all in one.
Don't you dare do two because you'll never match.
You'll mess up our matches. You'll mess up our school's match rate if you do two specialties. Yeah.
And yet they're in the soap is all I'm pointing out. So that's your life. And then there's a concluding time on Wednesday when all of that's done. And then you have to create, as a program director, you have to create your soap list. And that's for Thursday. It has to be finally certified in this particular, in case you're listening to this in years future, for this particular match, it had to be certified by 8:55 a.m. on Thursday morning with round one of the soap. And I'll explain that, the soap thing, in just a second. But just so you understand the list is very different than your rank list as a program, right? So a lot of programs, and people do things very different ways. So I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying this is what I'm familiar with, is when you have the general match, a lot of programs spend a fair amount of time making sure their rank list is very well culled, right? We rank people based on our preference for the students, which is the way you're supposed to do it. You really shouldn't get into this game of ranking people by they're most likely to come here, right? Because you do want to be very pro-student. And if a student really wants to come to your program and you would have ranked them high, but there's some mythical criteria, right? So there's this whole thing about just you rank in the order that you want people and you put everybody on the rank list you would take. And the only people you exclude are the people that you feel like they are just not appropriate for your program. And for whatever the reason, it doesn't mean they're a bad candidate. It just means they're not for you. So that is not how the rank list for SOAP works at all. So you can create a rank list as deep as you want, right? It's fine.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All. So the way the soap works, I know.
I wish you could all see Jeff's face.
This is a video podcast. Yeah, Jeff's brain just exploded.
I don't have a good face for audio right now. Yeah.
So the way this works is you create your list, and my strategy and our program strategy was somewhere along the lines of best fit, but also most likely to match. And the reason match, soap, whatever they call it, pair, accept the offer. I don't want to get in trouble, but whatever the term is, that's what you're doing. And so what happens is you have your list, right? And you may have 70 people, right, on your supplemental offer potential rank list. You can move them up and down. It's great. But when you certify and lock in that list, if you have, for example, three spots in your program, three unfilled spots, the top three people on that list at 9 a.m. are sent an offer from your program. However, they could also be sent an offer from Megan's program and T. Willie's program down the road and Tom Thumb's program down here and all of these other programs. So as a student now, I may have 15 offers and I get to pick.
And I have 2 hours to do it.
And I have two hours to do it. So during this window, calling, talking, figuring out, please pick me.
It's us convincing them to choose our offer for 2 hours.
So, wow.
And before we go too far down the rabbit hole, just so people know what is happening, Those three offers are it. It's locked. So if a student declines your offer, in your head, you think it's like the match.
The next person will go down.
Does not happen. It is literally, those are all three of your tickets for that round. People either come to your restaurant or they don't. And that's it.
You now. So from a student perspective, it's Christmas.
It's great. It's Christmas. This is fantastic.
Unless they didn't get the top of anybody's list.
They didn't get an offer. An offer is level one. But let's be realistic. Also, there is a lot of problem with, if you really wanted to go to Andy's program, for example, and you like Megan's program, you interview there, but Andy didn't offer you.
Yes, in the first round.
But Megan did. So now do you accept it? Do you accept it or not? And
or do you reach out to Andy's program
and go, hey.
Hey, I really want to come there. If you guys are still in round two,
if you're still in round two, please send me an offer.
I'm going to accept it.
I'm very likely to accept it. You're the number one, Megan. I love you. You're the best one on my list.
They didn't even say very likely.
I know. Even though I think they're supposed to. Like, it's just the way it is. Right,
so I'm like tachycardic.
Jeff's brain is exploding.
Oh my god!
I'm really glad we filled. I'm really glad.
And so the choices are.
I haven't gotten to the worst part yet.
Yeah, the choices are. Yeah, we're gonna keep passing back and forth. So I'm just gonna do round one. So they can accept. They can accept, which means all of a sudden, and the list populate in real time. So you have to have somebody there just clicking.
No.
Refresh, refresh, refresh. You also get an email that says someone has accepted.
You don't
rejected.
Get anything if they decline. You just get an email
you
if
just
they
get
accepted. So you're literally just refreshing.
Yeah, refresh.
And trying to contact people.
So it will show accepted on the list, offer pending or offer there, or the dreaded declined. And when it declines, not only does it decline, but it drops them to the bottom of your list. So all you see is who's on deck, but no offer is going to them. So you now have, like, Phil, maybe you're lucky or great, and in round one with your three spots, you have one person who accepted and one who declined within 30 seconds. So you automatically now know you're going to have to soak
round
two. But the problem is,
this is the worst part.
The one person that hasn't decided, that has the 15 offers, or maybe they're just a slow critical thinker, or maybe they don't, like, their internet goes down or whatever the reason, they have 2 hours. So your offer is just floating. And more importantly, they are allowed to just let that offer expire. And if it expires,
they don't have to choose.
They do not have to choose.
And to their credit, it's not also just their fault. There are, to the best of my understanding, because I'm not completely versed on this, but to the best of my understanding, there are soap categories, and you can be in a soap category where you accept, for example, a categorical internship or a surgical internship, accept that position. But because your program is a categorical program and that's a traditional or a rotating or whatever, it doesn't pull them from the match or from the soap. So if they accept an internship that is outside of your like categorical stuff, in their mind, they have accepted an offer. Everybody else gets a rejected notice, but they don't. It doesn't automatically do that. It shows them as still being available to match. And so it just shows that their offer is just sitting there. And you can't act. You can't promise someone else
that spot. So guys, if you're saying this is happening in real time, just following on your scenario, John, if you have three, number one, you got them. Number two, drop down. You're still waiting for number three. Can you see if your four match somewhere else in the first? No.
Yes.
Oh, so you're watching. You're sitting there going,
watching for two hours, my next person is now dropping.
Turn to three. And it says unavailable. That's the worst part.
That's
unavailable.
The worst part. So your top 10
is now, maybe
now
you've got 30. Two left. Or maybe you're in the 20s or 30s. And here's the thing. Remember I was talking about how great the candidates are? Top candidates aren't just top candidates for you.
No.
So they're everywhere.
They're going to get 15
And so your number four, if you have three spots, your number four is like...
It's gone.
Probably
I'm not
gone.
Joking
Absolutely.
When I say like the top 70 of my soap were all amazing candidates. Happy to have them all. So number 70 is as precious to me as number one. And I was just honest with them. I was like, I have to put you in an order. I have to. And it can be like a razor hair, nothing you ever did in life that is going to make that decision. And so you can be number four with your top program, go through round one, and all of a sudden you didn't even get an offer. But now when I relook at my list, maybe you're not the number one anymore because of that wafer thin, like what I've got to do. And now maybe I'm going to offer you the next round, but maybe I can't because now I have to play a game too. And I hate saying that because you guys know I am not like, I like a good game, but a game has to be a game. These are like real people. This is not what
this,
I, and
yeah,
it's
this
my
is their
program.
Futures, they're moving.
And my program and my specialty, and like, I embrace it all. So round one, stressful enough. And I don't know your exact specifics, but I'll just say I got to participate in additional gameplay.
I also got to continue, and it just heightens.
Would you like to pick up where we're at with the distress and drama of round one?
So after the 2 hours have elapsed, you now have 55 minutes to decide who your next offers are going to go to.
Everything's locked.
Everything is locked. And so you have to recertify a list. So you're going back and you're like, I have 34 and 67 and 22. And these are all the people that are left. But now you have 55 minutes to decide who your next two offers or your one offer is going to go to. And so
and you have to contact them at that time as well.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Because there's no rules.
There's no rules.
I mean, there is a rule. The rule is you can't ask them if you make them an offer, will they accept it?
Okay.
That's a rule.
Okay. But I will say that people did.
I know. Amazing how that happened, wasn't it?
Amazing how that happened.
Cling by my ethics, huh?
Yeah. I know. Soap was dirty.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Very, very dirty. So, yeah. So now Jeff, if most of your people dropped off and turned unavailable during round one, you're not only trying to recertify, you might be trying to interview more people between the rounds.
Because you have to have, or you want to have at least enough to make offers.
Yeah. And if you have to go to the next round, you need to have a deep bench.
So there are people that you may not, and just for physical space, have been able to interview on those first 2 days, that now you're going back to your original list. And you are going get on the phone and call, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo from California and call like anybody that is listed as available.
Yep. So my APDs were still calling people or like going through applications the entire day as we were going.
So you're moving forward, but you can't stop the machine
behind you
in the background. Jeff, you have a question. You're dying.
I'm dying. Yes. Does the second round happen at the same time for every program, in a sense of like, hey, I got an accept, reject right off the bat? Do you have to wait for 2 hours?
Yep.
Or, okay, so you can't. So then everyone has the same 2 hours.
All four rounds happen simultaneously for everyone. So the next round, you have 55 minutes to redo your list. And then at 12, second round offers go out for everybody.
So 11:55 is your do or die. You, as a program director, you have to have unlocked your list, shuffle. You don't have to. You probably should.
Probably should.
If you didn't, helpful for next time, do that. You have to reshuffle your list. And keep in mind now, you can look at the top and it shows number of unfilled positions for you. Those are all the offers that are going around. So you seal it at 11:55. Now let's say you have two spots left out of your three. Whoever are in your top two spots,
that's where the
will be sent an offer. Everything else is just dressing. It's just window
dressing.
You're
watching them go.
You're watching them disappear the next round.
So now you have from 12 to 2 to start interviewing more people,
to
whatever
drive to
it
people's
may be.
Front doors.
This explains why at 12:01, I'm with John at lunch while he's going through the second round.
Because there's nothing else you can do.
No.
You've done all you can do is you've called.
I'm glad you had time for lunch because I literally was on the phone.
There was literally nothing else I could do. There was nothing else I could do.
So I'm at lunch with John, and at 12:01, he looks at his phone. He puts down his entire Moscow Mule in one swig and just gets up and leaves. And I'm like, so I guess we're going to round
three. We're going to round three.
We're going to round three. Did you get to enjoy round three?
I also got to enjoy
round
three.
Oh my gosh. What a delight.
But I will say something beautiful happened in our area between like round one and three. All of a sudden, the programs who were soaping started talking to one another. Because we all wanted each other to fill. And so I was like, okay, I have one spot. You still have three spots. Here's a list of people I interviewed that you might want to look at. And so between the three or four programs, now we had a group chat. It wasn't just me working with my APDs and my team. In our region, we actually started, I won't make an offer to that person because you're going to make an
offer. I'm not going to waste a spot because you don't want to waste a spot.
You want to burn a spot.
You don't
want
to send offers to the same people if you're competing with your colleagues in the city.
Oh. And you're allowed to do that, by the way, interesting enough, unlike the original match. As long as the applicant has applied to both your programs, you can communicate with any program that the applicant has submitted an application to, not even been interviewed. If they submitted an application to them, you can communicate about that applicant. But you cannot talk about applicants that did not apply to you.
How do you find out? Like, do you say, hey,
well, that's the magic thing that somehow has to happen, but nobody has an explanation.
Got it. Okay. All right, then.
It just mythically
happens. My question.
But it was a fascinating ethical dilemma for me, because you may have somebody on your list that you think, maybe I have somebody that I think is going to be a great program for Megan. So the question is, can I say, Megan, did, you know, Stephen Smith apply to you? And even by doing that, you feel a little icky. Yeah. Like, is that okay to do? Because you don't know. It's not 100% clear. But I have to know if they applied, because if they didn't, it doesn't matter, because she can't make an offer, nor can she contact them to be like, would you like to consider my? She can't do it. But I can contact them. But if we both did, I can call them, you can call them. And interestingly, there were people that were more interested in location.
Yes, there was a lot of that.
I have to be here.
I would actually advise them, if I didn't have spots left, I said, apply to this program. They still have spots. And then I would call the PD and say, check out this application. They have to be in Philadelphia.
Family medicine, internal medicine, orthopedic surgery, like whatever. It doesn't. But any other specialty that had positions, which was not orthopedic surgery, but any other specialty that had positions, right? And some of them did that in the beginning. So unlike the match in the soap, if I really wanted to be in, you know, Chicago, I could apply to EM, family medicine, internal medicine, traditional surgical year, intern year, as many as you want.
In Chicago.
Upload and create a different
persona for
everyone.
Each one. Yeah.
Now, and this is why you need to talk to each other. So let's just say for a moment, I'm a family medicine program director and Megan is, and I'm in Philadelphia and I'm at the same institution she is. And all of a sudden I have three spots and you have one spot left and you're in round three. And this works for round one too. Charles has applied and really wants to come to Philadelphia. And Charles, I'm going to rank him number one for my family medicine program. And Megan has one spot left and she's in round three and she's going to rank him number one. One of us is wasting energy and we need some clarity. So one of us, if he's applied to both programs, needs to call Charles and go, hey, boo-boo, here's the thing. You don't have to tell me you'll accept a spot, but we need you to pick a specialty because we're not going to offer you. I'm a family medicine guy. I'm not going to stab my EM person.
The layers of the soap
complexity
are so far beyond what's the timeline on the paper.
And here's the deal. You hope they're being honest.
You hope.
Well, so I guess, and that's where I was thinking, like, how do we tie this back to what the students need to know? You both were lied to.
Yes.
A lot.
Several times.
Bald face. With tears.
Yeah.
Oscars would be given.
Like, yeah.
And against my very nature to... Because I generally slant very hard towards believing people.
My motto during this was supposed to be trust no one, because I was lied to last year during the soap. But for some reason,
you got duped.
It's still hard because, you know, while it's hard for the programs, it's even harder for the students.
So hard.
And they're trying to satisfy, you know, their families. They're trying to have a career and a job and, you know, not be on that, you know, list of people for their school and they're getting pressure from a lot of different directions. And so our nature at EM is to help. Our nature in EM is to, you know, believe and but yet verify.
One quick thing for the students. I mean, just as frustrating as it is for program directors, picture this. You didn't get that letter on match day. So it's not what the universe is saying, but you feel like the universe is saying you're not worthy, right? You now had to exhaust yourself, pulling it together, applying to programs, going, doing these interviews, putting on a game face, struggling because you know that the universe made you feel like you weren't worthy. And now you're dealing with program directors who feel like, regardless, and it's not what the universe is saying, but they feel like their programs were not worthy. So opening that awkward conversation is the intro for the 13-minute max interview you're about to have. And then you do soap round one and you get zero offers. And now you as a student, your phone starts ringing again with all these people telling you how wonderful and awesome and amazing you are. And you get to round two and you get zero offers. And now you've had to power through half the day with lots of other people. Soap worked. I got in. I'm in my favorite place. Thank goodness. I've already matched. I'm waiting to hear. And you're in round three and you've had zero offers. And you truly believe that everyone has to be lying to you, because if you were such an outstanding applicant, how could you not get an offer? And it's the
emotional roller coaster.
The emotional roller coaster. And it's like a game.
But it sounds like the game is designed for that to happen.
Oh, there were flashes of Hunger Games
in my head.
So if that didn't push it right out of your head, fire that question
out. Well, no. So I want to know, I'm sitting here trying to like think through like what I would be thinking and what my emotion would be. And I mean,
I'd be giving you a hug.
So many incredible kudos to you guys for doing this. So many incredible kudos to the students that have gone through this. As you were thinking about your own programs, I know both of you guys are really involved in medical education. Were you guys having to advise students mm-hmm. at the same time? So now, and just because I know everyone at this table, you're also giving yourself to try to help students that maybe aren't even coming to your program, or that you're trying to help navigate or work on next steps.
Yeah, but you want another ethical dilemma? You are technically not supposed to have any contact outside of the soap with anybody that didn't apply to your program.
Oh,
so if you
man.
Have a mentee
oh, geez.
That is in the soap but did not apply to your program, you know, the NRM, like, there's a lot going on, and whatever you feel about, right, that is the power broker of the day. And they work really hard to have everyone play by the same set of rules for a very valid reason. So if you already have a mentee and you have an established relationship and you are clearly not trying to get them in your program, that's still technically a rule violation. So you have to walk a thin line, and it gets really,
I would say the biggest violation I saw. So technically, no one who's supporting a candidate can reach out to the program until the program has reached out to the applicant. And so on Monday, if schools are starting to say, hey, I saw you're on the unfilled list, I have a great candidate for you.
That's a violation.
Because I have not seen their application. I have not reached out to the applicant. So there were a ton of violations.
Ton of that. And I know. It's super tough.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. You know, along with that, there were some really interesting things that came up. Like, if you have a faculty member that works at a medical school and the applicant didn't apply to where that faculty member works, and then you're a medical student, you go to your advisor in EM, they technically have a real hard time, because they could say, well, I'm wearing the advisor hat, but that is a thready rope to walk, because if they're employed by a program they haven't ranked to, I mean, that is a clear violation.
So to wrap this up, I think...
Oh, we could go all day.
No, we could go all day. But no, but to me, it's the... For
I'm
medical students...
I'm actually tachycardic.
Yeah. Your watch is screaming.
Jeff's smartwatch is like, what
Jeff,
are you doing?
Jeff, you appear not
to... And you should have... I mean, the emotional roller coaster for students, but then the sheer information overload on Tuesday and Wednesday for programs and for students, and then the emotional pull all day Thursday.
All day.
By the time I finally got that last acceptance...
Exhausted.
I almost passed out. And then I just finally cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're a medical student, a couple things. Know that everybody's going through this terribly. Programs are going through it terribly. Other applicants are going through it terribly. Be as honest as you can.
Honest. And program directors.
Yes.
Programs, be honest.
Yeah, be as honest as you can. And I say that knowing that I remember when I went through the match, you would get asked, where am I on your list? And I would always say, I'm ranking you highly. That doesn't disclose where on my list you are. It doesn't tell me you're number one. It doesn't guarantee me a spot with you. It says I'm ranking you highly. But know that there's a lot of hurt that can happen in the soap, and you want to make sure you're not a part of it.
Yeah. And just...
And you are worthy.
Yeah.
Just know that you've made it this far and you're going to keep going. And the soap does not mean that you didn't deserve a spot. All of the people we got in the soap are unbelievably qualified
and incredible.
Superstars. And they're going to fit so great in our program. And things happen for a reason.
And so it doesn't matter where you fall on somebody's list, how you end up in your program, you are worthy to be there. And you have every right to enjoy and to be happy and to feel confident that you're going to be a kick-ass doctor.
Yeah. And the exact same thing for programs and the applicants. The soap is a different beast, but I will tell you, it is not worth selling your soul to get someone. I will put it this way, whether you're the applicant or whether you're the program, if you sell your soul, you will get exactly what you bought.
Well, thanks for making it all the way to the end of that Med Student Over Easy episode. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or head on over to our blog, emovereasy.com. Also, don't forget, we are the official podcast for the American College of Osteopathic Emergency Physicians. You can learn more about this great organization by heading to acoep.org, where you can find about an upcoming CME event where you might get to see a few of your EM Over Easy hosts live and in person for a show. Until next time, thanks so much.